Everyone should realize it is of supreme importance to understand, venerate, preserve, and foster the rich liturgical and spiritual heritage of the Eastern churches. In order faithfully to preserve the fullness of Christian tradition and bring about reconciliation between Eastern and Western Christians. Hear it. Most of the fathers of the church were Eastern Christian Catholics. And the greatest among these was St. John Chrysostom, Patriarch of Constantinople, who spent most of his years as Archbishop of Constantinople in exile. Oh, how dear St. John Chrysostom is to me. When I couldn't say about living in exile. It is John Chrysostom who has, and date, by the way, is the 4th century. Page after page, clear, unqualified homilies on Jesus Christ, the same one whom Mary conceived at Nazareth, gave birth to in Bethlehem, and who lived in Palestine and died on Calvary and rose from the dead. This is Chrysostom. This Jesus, same Jesus, is on earth in the Holy Eucharist. Needless to say, Christ is present physically in the Holy Eucharist. Some stupid theologians. And can they ever be dumb? The worst stupidity is the intellectual unbelievers. Take, for example, Karl Rahner, a fellow Jesuit, for the repose of whose soul I've been praying for years. Big thick encyclopedia of, oh, Rahner, Catholic theology. He's talking about the Eucharist. Then, oh, learned paragraph after learned paragraph. By the time you finish, transubstantiation, says Rahner, the words were borrowed from Aristotelian philosophy. But now they've grown up. Grown up in heresy. They now replace transubstantiation either with, remember, transignification or transfinalization. The stupid genius from the earliest church in the Eastern churches, when they describe what happens at Mass, they identified it as metousiosis. Ousia in Greek means being. Meta means change. Ousiosis means change in beingness. What had been bread and wine is now no longer bread and wine, but the living flesh and blood of the Son of God who became the Son of Mary. From the earliest times, the Church of the East followed their own disciplines, sanctioned by the Holy Fathers, by synods, and even by the councils of the Church. This is important to hear. Far from being an obstacle to the Church's unity, such diversity of customs and observances only adds to her beauty. Remove all shadow of doubt, this Holy Council solemnly declares that the Churches of the East, while keeping in mind the necessary unity of the whole Church, have the power to govern themselves according to their own disciplines. In other words, while the Second Vatican Council ought to make sure that when, please God, soon, the Eastern separated churches reunite with Rome, they will not have to change one iota of their liturgy. What has already been said about the legitimate variety they are pleased to apply to differences in theological expression of doctrine. And this is why I have been not just encouraged, but told by the Holy See, do whatever you can to restore some stability in the teaching of theology throughout the world. What happened? It is not only that we have now our liturgy in what we call the vernacular, French, German, English, you name it, but the teaching of theology in the Catholic Church now to priests is being done in the vernacular. Where do you find sound Orthodox books in Catholic theology in English? Where? That's why, and I say this, many of the books I've published have been published under orders of the Holy See. And this is where the Eastern churches, although they use what we would call the vernacular, but, and this is both the beauty and, of course, the trial. Their liturgy, you might say, is in their vernacular. And I think I should say this. What is the vernacular language of the Catholic Church? Once more. Thank you. Gracias. I gave a retreat to 63 men in our Jesuit retreat house outside of Chicago, 5 days after Mother's Day inclusive. Talk to the man of it. I'm talking to you. We need Latin. Without Latin, you don't really understand. I don't say your Catholic faith. You don't even understand the English language. So I got a long list, 2 pages, of names, addresses, and phone numbers of the men who want to learn some Latin. I brought this up for an obvious reason. Once my busy season ends, some around mid or late June, by that time our classes will be over. But we're going to organize a national program for studying ecclesiastical Latin. Eighty-five 85% of our English language is from the Latin. All the thinking words are from Latin, and a few from Greek. The bread and butter words, the brot and butter words, are taken from the Teutonic, from the German. And this, by the way, is one reason also for the marvelous stability in faith. In spite of their break with the Church of Rome and the Eastern churches, what time is our break?
3 o'clock.
Please?
3 o'clock.
We may break sooner. Towards the end of section 17, with regard to the authentic theological traditions of the Orientals, you must recognize they are admirably rooted in holy scriptures and are fostered and given an expression in liturgical life, are nourished by the living tradition of the apostles, by the works of the fathers and spiritual writers of the East. They are directed toward a right ordering of life, indeed toward a full contemplation of Christian truth. Notice what the counselor is doing, praising, sentence after sentence, the wealth, the treasury of Oriental, Eastern Christianity. And then this counsel thanks God that many Eastern children of the Catholic Church preserve this heritage and wish to express it more faithfully and completely in their lives. However, he declares that his entire heritage of spirituality and liturgy of discipline belongs to the full Catholic and apostolic character of the Church. Imagine how many major councils of the Church have been held since the 13th century, especially the Council of Trent. And the Orthodox are deprived of that riches of insight which the general councils since the 13th century have given to us Catholics. Now a very important sentence. After taking all these factors into consideration, the sacred council confirms what previous councils and Roman pontiffs have proclaimed: to restore communion and unity or preserve them, one must impose no burden beyond what is indispensable. Now, there are two absolutely indispensable truths of the faith, which the Eastern churches, separated from the Holy See, must accept. They must accept the Roman primacy, the supreme teaching and ruling authority of the Bishop of Rome. And secondly, they must accept the indissolubility of sacramental consummated marriage. I'll go to 3:15. We'll take our break because I want to spend as much time on your questions as possible, after, of course, covering our next class on the priesthood. Let me tell you what, over the centuries, has been mainly responsible for the break between the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern churches that are now separated from Rome. The main single cause was and is the state. And this, hear it, was and is the single main reason for the traumatic break of whole nations, break with the Roman Catholic Church in the 16th century to create what we now call Protestantism. It is the state, the bishops in the Eastern churches caved in to the state. The state wanted to give the right to divorce and remarriage to their people. The church stood in the way until the bishops caved in. What happened in the 16th century? Same thing. Once Catholic country after another, where the state officials wanted to give people, married people, the right to divorce and remarry. The bishop stood in the way. Once the bishops caved in, that was the end of the Catholic Church. And of course, the most dramatic giving in by cowardly bishops was in England. Remember, only one bishop remained firm, told the lecherous Henry, "Sorry, your marriage to Catherine cannot be dissolved." Henry called the bishops and told them, "What do you say?" They knew their lives were at stake. And that is the great threat to the survival of the Catholic Church in America. Do you hear me? I know I'm being taped. And I believed our Lord wanted me to say it. What we need in the United States is faithful, courageous, heroic bishops. And the church will survive in our country. As I've told the Canadians yesterday and Friday night, the Catholic Church in Canada will survive only as long as you still have bishops who believe in what Christ taught and the bishops of Rome have authorized for 2,000 years and is now past a quarter to. Let's take our break and then reassemble. Big deal. At 4? Oh, no. 3 o'clock. Reassemble at 3. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.